many years ago, someone had suggested to me that I make a healing CD. Actually, at that time, it would be the healing tape. And I followed that suggestion finally and made what we called originally the healing tape. And it became the healing CD, and now the healing CD and MP3. And a lot of people have been blessed by it. It's just scriptures from Genesis to Revelation, all through the Bible, concerning divine healing. And not only did we read the scriptures, but we also prayed in line with those scriptures and led the listeners into a confession of faith concerning divine healing. And people have actually been healed by listening to that recording and applying it into their lives. And it's been a blessing to a lot of people. My wife, since that time, has suggested that I do something similar on the subject of peace. Because a lot of us need peace in this troubled world. There's so much emotional upheaval in people's lives. There's so much torment and so many problems mentally, emotionally, and in the realm of the inner being, just a turmoil. And you know, it doesn't need to be. God has peace for us. God has peace for you. And I've got a couple scriptures just to lay a foundation here for our time of ministry. And first is John 14:27. Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." You know, Jesus said he gives us his peace. It's a gift. We don't earn it. We don't make it happen. We just need to learn how to receive it. And he gives us peace down deeply in our heart, and it'll spread through our entire lives. He said, "My peace I give unto you." He says, "Not as the world giveth." It's a peace that's different than the world gives to us. The world system might have a way of finding peace. Maybe it's some meditation technique, or maybe it's in a bottle, or maybe it's in a drug, or maybe it's through some security program where we'll have such awesome security that we have nothing to worry about, but we find out that doesn't bring true and lasting peace. But I'll tell you what, Jesus does. He brings true and lasting peace. So just say these words. Just say, "Thank you, Father, for sending Jesus that I might have peace. I receive that peace today into my heart, into my mind, into my life, in the name of Jesus." Amen. That's powerful. So I'm going to be asking you to make some confessions based on these scriptures. And I'll tell you, it's something that's very, very powerful. If you can get your mouth going the right direction and saying the right things, it will guide your entire life. You know, in James, the Bible talks about your tongue being like a rudder for your ship. And so that's why we're doing this recording, so that you can receive the truth of it into your heart, begin to speak it out of your mouth, and begin to absorb it into your life and walk in the light of it, because God wants you to have peace. And you know, as I'm speaking today also, I'm going to be just asking God to release supernatural peace to you. I'm going to be just releasing peace out of my spirit for you, because God has given us this peace. And it has to do and pertains to the anointing of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gives peace. And you know, Adam and Eve, they lost their peace because of their sin. But Jesus Christ came to restore that peace to us. Second foundational scripture, John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32. "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If ye continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." You know, it's only the truth that you know that'll make you free. And we know the scriptures, the word of God, is the truth. Jesus said, John 17, "Thy word is truth." The truth is God's word. But you see, you have to know it. And this is what God wants to do. He wants to reveal truth. When we have a confidence that God has spoken to our heart, then we know that truth down deep inside. Nobody can take it away. And if you know the truth, Jesus said, the truth will make you free. You know, maybe you've been tormented for years, but I want you to know the truth will make you free. There's something about the Word of God that sets the captives free. There's an anointing on it from heaven to make your life different. Praise God. And that's exactly what God wants to do. He wants to make your life different today. He wants to set you free. Praise God. Psalm 107, verse 20, He sent His word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. And you know, Satan maybe has been doing a lot of destruction in your life, but I come to tell you that God's word will set you free. Hallelujah. The word peace, the Hebrew word translated peace in the Old Testament is shalom. That's just a peaceful sounding word, isn't it? Shalom, it means completeness, soundness, welfare, peace. It means safety. It means health. It means prosperity. It means quietness and tranquility and contentment. That is God's peace in your life. The New Testament word is irene. And it's probably from a primary verb meaning to join. So it's through our union with Christ, you see, that we have peace. And that word is used to indicate, first of all, a state of national tranquility, you know, peace in the nation. And then peace between individuals, harmony in relationships. And then security, safety, prosperity. Basically, God's blessing of peace. And then it also speaks of the Messiah's peace. Jesus is the Messiah, the anointed king who came not to make war, but to make peace, to give reconciliation. And it says in Christianity, the tranquil state of soul assured of its salvation through Christ. It's a peace concerning our relationship with God. And so fearing nothing from God and content with its earthly lot, whatsoever sort that is. And then finally, peace is the blessed state of the devout and upright men after death. You know, we'll have peace forever. Hallelujah. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says. Now, the devil wants you anxious, nervous, depressed, full of worry, tormented, but we break his power in the name of Jesus. Satan, we take authority over worry, depression, anxiety, mental torment, every evil operation of the devil in the brain or in the emotions or in the mind, in the soul. We break your power in Jesus' name. We loose you from your assignment and command you to go, and we loose God's peace to God's people. It belongs to them. Jesus said, "My peace I give unto you." The problems of mental torment, worry, anxiety, and fear go back to the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve sinned, disobeyed God, and ate the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And God came to them and said, "Adam, where are you?" And the Bible said that Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. You see, they were fearful, and their relationship with God was broken. And that's really the source of all insecurity and fear. That's where the problem started. And all the problems in the world, whether it's mental problems, emotional problems, physical problems, relational problems, societal problems, it all really stems back to that when man ate that forbidden fruit, disobeyed God, and sin came into the human race. But God had a plan right away. He had a plan to redeem mankind and to bring us back into relationship with Him. And I want you to know, God has peace, and He'll impart that peace to us when we're reunited with Him and His power becomes evident in our life. And that's what the gospel of Jesus Christ is all about. Jesus sent His Son. God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 10:10 says, "I am come that you might have life and have it more abundantly." So it's not just that we have life, you know, after we die, we go to heaven. Yes, thank God for that. I mean, that's really the most important thing. But yet God doesn't want us tormented and lacking and have tremendous problems and difficulties, you know, that Satan brings on us in this life. No, he wants us to have victory, and he wants you to have peace today. Praise God. So I just speak peace to you in the name of Jesus. I just speak a healing to you in your relationship with God. If you've been separated from God for any reason because of sin, today is the day to be reconciled to him through his Son, Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 5, verse 12, as we mentioned, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Now here's a couple of scriptures about God sending his word to bring peace. 2 Chronicles 32, 7 says, be strong and be courageous, be not afraid nor dismayed for the king of Assyria, nor for all the multitude that's with him, for there be more with us than with him. With him is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. And the people rested themselves upon the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah. You see, the people were under affliction. They were about to be attacked by the king of Assyria, and they were fearful. But the king of Judah spoke a word, and the Bible said they rested themselves upon that word. And you know, I pray today that you would rest yourself upon the word of God that's being spoken unto you, that you would take heart because of these words, and that you would say, yes, it's going to be okay. Greater is he that's with me than he that's in the world, or greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Here's another example, Nehemiah chapter 8, verses 9 through 12. And Nehemiah, which is the Tirshatha, and Ezra the priest, the scribe, and the Levites that taught the people, said unto the people, this day is holy unto the Lord your God. Mourn not, nor weep, for all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Then he said to them, go your way, eat the fat, and drink the sweet, and send portions to them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. So the Levites stilled the people, saying, hold your peace, for the day is holy, neither be ye grieved. For all the people went their way to eat and drink and to send portions and to make great mirth, because they had understood the words that were declared unto them. Nehemiah 8, 9 through 12. You know, it's interesting here that they had read the word of God and become sad. And that's not all bad, you know. If something's wrong in your life and you read the word of God and you recognize, hey, something needs to change here, that's a good thing. Conviction is a good thing because it brings us to the Lord where we can find forgiveness and we can receive change in our life. But God instructed these leaders to tell the people, no, it's not a day just to weep and mourn and be sad. This is a day to rejoice because God's word has been revealed to you. So eat the fat, drink the sweet, send portions to them to whom nothing has been prepared. It's a good day. And I'll tell you what, today is a good day because the gospel of Jesus Christ is being ministered unto you. Jesus died on the cross for you to have peace in your life. Praise God. And there may be a lot of things that happened in the past. There may have been a lot of junk that has been upon your life. But I tell you what, God says, leave it all behind because I've taken care of it through the blood of the cross of my Son. And I'm coming to you now to give you peace and prosperity and blessing into your life in Jesus' name. Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You know, you're hearing something in the physical realm. You're hearing my voice coming to you, either on the internet or on an MP3 or by a CD or however you're hearing it, but it's coming to you physically. Sound waves are coming. But it says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So it's a two-step process. Yes, you hear with your physical ears, but then you need to hear with your heart. And the Holy Spirit will help you to hear the word of God. Hear the word of the Lord. Peace be to you my child, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Psalm 16, verse 11, Thou wilt show me the path of life, in thy presence is fullness of joy, at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. You know, there's peace in the presence of God. There's peace in being on his path. There's joy in his presence, and there's pleasures. It's pleasurable to know God. It's not a drag. It's not a heavy burden. You know, he looses you. He sets the captives free and gives you joy. Just say, thank you, Lord, for showing me the path of life. In your presence, Lord, is fullness of joy. At your right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. Thank you, Lord. I'm on your path. Thank you, Lord. I'm in your presence. Thank you, Lord. I live at your right hand with Jesus. Amen. Praise God. Psalm 23, verses 1 through 6, in other words, the whole psalm. Praise God for this psalm. It's a beautiful psalm that's brought peace to many people around the world. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Let's say it. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Just say, thank you, Lord, for being my shepherd. Thank you, Lord, I shall not want. Thank you, Lord, you make me to lie down in green pastures. You lead me beside quiet waters. You restore my soul. Thank you, Lord, for restoring my soul. I might walk through difficulties, but I will fear no evil. Father, I just pray for this dear listener today, Lord. I just thank you for the anointing of peace coming upon them right now. I thank you for the good shepherd taking them by his hand and leading them to green pastures in their thought life, to still waters of peace in their mind. I thank you, Lord, that they meditate in the word day and night, and you make them like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Oh, I thank you, Lord, their leaf does not wither. And I thank you, Lord, they bring forth their fruit in their season. In Jesus' precious name. I thank you, Lord, they dwell in the house of the Lord forever. They dwell in the house of the Lord today and forever. Eternal life is today. Praise God. Thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Psalm 27, verse 13, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. You know, David said, I would have fainted. I wouldn't have made it unless I began to believe to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. You know, sometimes it's like our life is, it's just like we're looking at a black cloud. I mean, the only thing in front of us is just darkness and hopelessness. But we've got to turn to the Lord, and we've got to encourage ourselves in the Lord like David did. You know, he encouraged himself in the Lord and began to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Just say this. Say, thank you, Lord. You have a good plan for me. I may have experienced difficulties, but you're with me. You're taking me by the right hand, and you're leading me forward. In Jesus' name. I believe to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 34, verse 8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Praise God. It's good to trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. All your ways acknowledge him. He's going to direct your path. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. You know, just taste of the goodness of the Lord. Maybe your mind has just been renewed to the wrong type of thinking about God. The Lord is good. The Lord is good. Taste and see that the Lord is good. You know, it's like eating a good food. You enjoy it. You savor it. And that's what our relationship with God should be. We should be recognizing his goodness and enjoying his goodness that's in his presence. Psalm 37:4, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Psalm 37:5, commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Praise God. In the Hebrew there, it's stating, roll your way upon the Lord. Trust the Lord to guide you. You know, there's a little acronym that someone made out of the word guidance. And it goes like this, God, you and I dance. You know, we should enjoy God in our lives. He is the joy of my life, praise God. And we should walk every day with him, acknowledging his presence, being sensitive to his presence, and resting in him, and just have a good time with God. I want to encourage you, have a good time with God. Don't let religion make you miserable, praise God. That's not what God's all about. That's not what the Holy Word of God is all about. It's to make you free, praise God, to enjoy his blessing. And, you know, he brings you out of things for your own benefit. He doesn't leave you in your sin. He delivers you from your sin, praise God. And he sets the captives free, praise God. He's going to change your thinking today. He's going to give you an optimism that comes from him, a power of his word operating in your life in Jesus' name. Psalm 37, verse 23, the steps of a good man or woman are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. In other words, enjoy your path. He delights in his way. He enjoys the path. Praise God. I love that scripture. The steps of a good man or woman are ordered by the Lord. You know, I looked up that word good, and one of the meanings is valiant. We need to have courage. We need to be valiant in order to be guided by the Lord, because otherwise we'll be ruled by fear, you see. And for God to guide you, you have to be valiant. You have to be strong and courageous. And the only way you can do that is to meditate on God's word. As you can see in Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, he said, don't let the word of God depart out of your mouth, but meditate therein day and night, that you may observe to do all that is written therein. Then the Lord will make your way prosperous. Then you'll have good success. And then he said, be strong and courageous, because I am with you. God is with you. And so you need to acknowledge his word and meditate his word and take it deeply into your heart, and then you'll have courage to go forward. Psalm 46, verse 10, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. It's a good word. Be still. You know, just have peace. You say, well, you don't know what's going on in my life. You don't know the problems that I have, you know. But I tell you what, he's talking to people here that are going through difficulties. That's exactly what this psalm's about. He says, just be quiet. I'll be exalted. I'll bring you through. You know, my way is the best way. Put your trust in me. Roll your cares upon me, and I will bless you. Just say, thank you, Lord. I'll be still. Just say, mind, be quiet in Jesus' name. I trust in the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. I like this. I'm having a good time here, enjoying these scriptures, enjoying God's peace. Psalm 119, verse 165, great peace have them which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Just fall in love with God's word, enjoy it, and you'll have great peace. Psalm 128, verse 1 and 2. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways, for thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. You're going to be happy when you reverence the Lord and put him first place in your life. Hallelujah. There's a lot of power in that. Psalm 144, verse 15. Happy is that people whose God is the Lord. That's a great scripture. Hallelujah. And Psalm 145, verse 9. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. Maybe you've heard that little phrase, you know, you're a real piece of work. Well, you're a piece of work. You're the Lord's piece of work. You're his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Praise God. And the Lord is good to all. You know, think about the goodness of the Lord, how he sent his only son to die for you. You know, I think about in Romans 8, it says, he that spared not his own son, but offered him up for us all, how shall he not also with him freely give us all things? And God will give you everything you need. He'll give you peace and contentment and victory and a purpose and a plan for your life. Satan, I just come against you in the name of Jesus. You lying devil, I break your power and I loose this one into the will of God, into the truth of God's word. And I pull down the strongholds that said their life is nothing and not important. I break that stronghold in Jesus' name, and I loose the will of God, and I loose the word to do its work today. In Jesus' precious name, amen. All right, well, let's move on to Proverbs now. Proverbs 3, verses 13 through 18. Happy is the man or woman that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding, for the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things that thou canst desire are not to be compared with her, or unto her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She's a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is everyone that retaineth her. That's God's wisdom that you receive from his word. It'll bless your life. It's, you know, just seek it above all things and seek understanding. And it said her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. God will lead you in the way of peace. Not only, you know, in your natural life and the paths that you walk in your natural life, but the paths that you walk in your thinking. These are the paths that lead us down to dark places or lead us into the richness of God. And so as you absorb God's wisdom from his word and you just esteem it highly and place it first place in your life and let it be your guide, it'll lead you in your thinking to bright places. Hallelujah. Places of glory, where the glory of God is revealed in your life. Proverbs 15:15, all the days of the afflicted are evil, but he that has a merry heart has a continual feast. I love that. A continual feast. Praise God. It's like you're having a good time every day. You might be working hard. You might be going through some tremendous challenges. But hey, life's a feast when you get on the right path. All the days of the afflicted are evil. The word afflicted there in the Hebrew means depressed in mind or circumstance. So let's come out of depression. Just say these words. Just say, depression, go from me in Jesus' name. Darkness, go from me in Jesus' name. I choose to have a merry heart. Praise God. And you know, if the Lord gives you the giggles, just start giggling. Praise God. You know, I was in a meeting not too long ago with a minister and you know, I was actually leading the meeting and teaching and so on, but the other minister that was with me was also praying for the sick, and I was helping him at one stage pray for somebody, and the giggles came on me, but it was the Holy Ghost giggles. It was just the laughter that came, and I tell you, I haven't really got rid of that. I still got that laughter. Hallelujah. And it comes from the Lord. It's not just a natural thing. It's a Holy Ghost laughter And I'll tell you, it's enjoyable to laugh and to have a good time with God. I pray you do that. The Amplified Version, Proverbs 15:15, all the days of the desponding afflicted are made evil by anxious thoughts and foreboding. Let's just cast away those anxious thoughts. But he who has a glad heart has a continual feast regardless of the circumstance. Now here's a good one in the book of Isaiah. With several scriptures here we have in Isaiah. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon thee because he trusteth in thee. You know, trusting in the Lord and having your mind stayed upon him, it does take some discipline. You know, you have to rule your own spirit, rule your own soul, and choose which way your mind is going to go. You've got to, you know, take charge. But he says he'll keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon him. You know, so maybe we're in the Word, we're in God's presence, we're praying, we're seeking the Lord, and we've got peace. And then we go out and we listen to the news report about what's going on in our nation or the politics or so on. And all of a sudden, we've got our mind off of God. You know, we're going to hear things. We're living in this world. But we've got to have that place with God where we absorb things in a right way, you know, and where we don't take things to heart that are negative in our life or in the government or the situation in this world. We've got to keep our mind stayed upon the Lord. Remember, he's the King of glory. He's bringing to pass his purposes in this earth. And, you know, he wants to bring them to pass through you. Praise God. So stay, have your mind stayed upon him. Stay in that perfect peace. Trust in the Lord. The word stayed there in the Hebrew means to lean, to lay, to rest, to support, to put, to uphold, to lean upon. It means to brace oneself, to sustain, to refresh, to revive. Lean on the Lord. Lean on the Lord in your thinking. You know, stay your mind upon him. Let him prop you up with his word. Praise God. Isaiah 28 verse 11, for with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith he shall cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. You know, I found out one of the real keys to having peace and receiving peace in your life is praying in the Spirit, praying in other tongues. And, you know, I remember one time I was anxious and nervous. We were getting ready to go on vacation with my family, and there was just so much going on to get ready, I became very frustrated. And finally, we got in the van to go and to have a good time with the family, you know. But Dad was upset, uptight. And so I just told my family, I says, well, just leave me alone. I just need to pray. So we're driving along, they're talking, and I'm just praying in the Spirit, praying in other tongues, you know, and driving along, paying attention to the road and driving and so on, but just letting my spirit pray. And you know, within about an hour, that peace came, probably sooner, but within an hour, I just prayed for about an hour, and I had that peace that passes all understanding, because it comes from the Lord. It's a Holy Ghost thing. It comes from the Holy Spirit of God, and he gives you peace in spite of the circumstance, and you can enjoy life. Thank you, Lord. Just say, thank you, Lord, for your peace. I receive it in my spirit. I receive it in my soul. I pray in the Spirit, and I enjoy you in my prayer life. In Jesus' name. Isaiah 30, verse 15, for thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest ye shall be saved. In quietness and confidence shall be your strength, and you would not. He's saying, you know, if you just return to me, I would give you peace. But these people that he was speaking to, they wouldn't come. But in returning and rest, you shall be saved. And in quietness and confidence shall be your strength. God wants to give you his salvation. He wants to give you a quietness in your soul and a strength. And it comes from just returning to him. Just lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily does beset you. You know, just lay aside things that are not pleasing to God. that are harmful to you, and just come to him and let him be Lord. And I tell you, he's going to give you peace and rest in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Isaiah 32, verse 17, and the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. Righteousness is a gift from God that comes when we accept Jesus Christ. You know, the Bible teaches us that when we make Jesus Lord of our lives and we believe that God raised him from the dead, he gives us a gift of righteousness. He makes us right with him. And along with that comes peace. And along with that comes quietness and assurance. And, you know, we need to just continue in the light of that. We need to realize what the gospel has done for us, that he has set us free and he has given us his peace in Jesus' name. Isaiah 41, verse 10, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. See, his righteousness, his rightness is what you need. Just take him by the hand and realize, hey, Lord, just say these words. Just say, hey, Lord, thank you for being with me. I take you by the right hand. I thank you for strengthening me. I will not fear, for you are with me. Isaiah 48, verse 18, oh, that thou hadst hearkened to my commandments, then had thy peace been as a river, and thy righteousness as waves of the sea. Just listen to God. God says, just open your ears and listen. God is speaking to you. God is speaking peace to you. God is speaking peace to your soul. God is giving you everything you need. He's the Lord. Amen. You were made to live with him, to walk with him, to enjoy him. Enjoy him today in Jesus' name. Isaiah 53, verses 4 through 6, from the great redemptive chapter of the Bible about Jesus and his death. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. You know, you might think, well, you know, I've done things wrong in my life. I sure am a mess. But you know what? Every one of us are. Every one of us have missed it. You know, all of us like sheep have gone astray, each to his own way. We followed our own way. We've messed up. We've sinned. We've dishonored God. But I tell you what, God's plan is to restore us and to heal us. Amen. All we like sheep have gone astray. But the Lord has laid upon him, upon Jesus, the iniquity of us all. So the punishment for our sins was placed upon Jesus. And that punishment would include, you know, our sicknesses and the mental torment and emotional problems, everything that goes with it. It all stems from a separation from God. It says here, the chastisement of our peace was upon him. Just say, thank you, Lord, for taking the punishment so I could have peace. I receive it now in Jesus' name. I believe Jesus died for me. I believe he rose again. And today I say with all my heart, Jesus, you are my Lord. Yes, Lord, I will follow you. Yes, Lord, I will follow you on the path of peace. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Isaiah 54, verse 10. This is one of my wife's favorite scriptures, Isaiah 54. For the mountains shall depart and the hills shall be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord, that has mercy on thee. God's not, you know, blessing you one day and throwing you out the next. You know, he says the covenant is going to stand. The price was paid through the blood of Jesus that you could have a covenant, an agreement with God that he would not break. He says, my kindness will not depart from you. God will continue to be kind to you. He will continue to bless you and make a way for you to know him and to live in his very presence day by day. It's a covenant, and God doesn't break his covenant. And that covenant is the New Testament. And through that covenant that God made through the blood of Jesus, we have freedom from sin, guilt, the power of sin, the power of Satan, sickness, disease, oppression, and fear. We have peace. I say peace to you, my child, in Jesus' precious name. Continuing in Isaiah 54, verses 11 through 17, O thou afflicted, tossed with tempest and not comforted, behold, I will lay thy stones with fair colors and lay thy foundations with sapphires. I'm going to make good things in your life. I will make thy windows of agates and thy gates of carbuncles and all thy borders of pleasant stones, and all thy children shall be taught of the Lord. That's a good promise. And great shall be the peace of thy children. In righteousness thou shalt be established. See, he's going to put you on a firm foundation, and you'll be rooted and grounded. And thou shalt be far from oppression. Praise God. Isn't that a great promise? For thou shalt not fear. And from terror it will not come near thee. I just say, terror, go in the name of Jesus. You'll not come near this precious one in Jesus' name. Behold, they shall surely gather together, but not by me. Yeah, there's problems, there's opposition, there's darkness, there's demonic forces, but that's not God's will. God is king over all. Whosoever shall gather together against thee shall fall for thy sake. Behold, I have created the smith that bloweth the coals in the fire and that bringeth forth an instrument for his work, and I have created the waster to destroy. He's saying, you know, I'm the one that made these things. I'm the one that made these evil powers. I didn't make them evil, but they turned from me. So I am in charge. Praise God. No weapon that's formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise up against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. This is something that we use a lot, that God has said, every tongue that shall rise up against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. See, it's very important that you use your mouth to condemn words that have been spoken unto you. Maybe it's a word that was spoken even by a parent, or an attitude that came across in your life that's plagued you, that's kept you down, that's been a bondage to you, words that were spoken. And you just need to say, I break those words in Jesus' name. I refuse to live under them. They have no power over me. Jesus' blood was shed for me, and I have the victory. See, I'm just trying to teach you how to use your tongue to cast down words that have been spoken against you. Could have been a teacher, could have been a sibling, could have been a friend, could have been a relationship, you know, a love relationship that was broken. Whatever it is, you know, whatever was spoken against you, it tends to stick with you in your soul, in your emotions, you see. But just say, I break it. I break those words. I break that thought. I'm a new creature in Christ. I'm beautiful in his eyes. The Lord loves me. I've got the victory. I'm more than a conqueror. I have peace in Jesus' name. Amen. Isn't that good? All right. Isaiah 61, verse 3. Jesus talking about the Spirit of the Lord is upon him. This is a prophecy that he also repeated part of it in Luke chapter 4. And it says, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion. You know, sometimes Christians mourn. Zion is talking about the church. And there's just sadness sometimes and difficulties. But he's got a plan to bring us out of that. He says, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes. So, you know, maybe your life is like an ash heap. But hey, the Lord says here, he's going to give you beauty for that ash heap. Praise God. He's going to bring you out. You're going to enjoy life more than ever before. And you're going to help others to find their way out of the ash pit too. Praise God. Give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Praise God. See, God will be glorified. Just give him praise. Let's just take a minute. Just praise the Lord. Lord, we just praise you. We just praise you for your peace. We just praise you for your goodness. We just praise you for your love. We just thank you. We thank you for your anointing of peace coming upon this dear one right now in Jesus' precious name. Give us the garment of praise, hallelujah, for that spirit of heaviness in Jesus' name. Jeremiah 30, verse 17, I will restore health to thee, praise God, mental health, emotional stability, everything, praise God. I will heal thee of thy wounds. See, maybe you've been wounded in life, praise God. But he says, I will heal thee of thy wounds, saith the Lord, because they call thee an outcast, saying, this is Zion, whom no man seeketh after. And sometimes we're wounded, we're like outcasts, but God takes you in, praise God, and gives you peace. Jeremiah 31:3, the Lord hath appeared of old to me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. The Lord is drawing you to himself today. Matthew 11:28-30, Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Lord, I take your yoke upon me. I'll learn of you, for you are meek and lowly, and I'll find rest unto my soul. Lord, I take your yoke upon me, in Jesus' name. In Matthew 18, Jesus talked about a man that was forgiven of a great debt. He asked for forgiveness of a debt, and the king forgave him. And then he went out, and he choked someone else who owed him money and tried to throw him in jail. And the Lord said to him, it says, then his Lord, after he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors until he should pay all that was due to him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do unto you, if you from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. You know, in this message, we've been talking a lot about God's forgiveness and redemption, and you know, how he forgives even if we've done things wrong. He forgives and he has mercy. But you know what? He wants us also to have mercy on others. And that includes those that have wronged us, those that have hurt us, maybe even a parent, a father, a mother, a sibling, a loved one that's hurt you and done you wrong. You know what? Just forgive them right now. Because otherwise, that's just a way for Satan to come and torment you. It's just an open door. And I tell you, God wants you to forgive. Just say, I forgive, Lord, and I let it go. In Jesus' precious name. And take time for this, you know, after this message is over, you know, take time just to clear your heart of any animosity, any unforgiveness towards anybody. Just be released and be free of that, because it's really a bondage for you, much more than for the other person. Just let it go and trust God and receive his forgiveness and give his forgiveness to others. Mark 11:25-26 says this same thought, and when you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. If you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive you your trespasses. So he says, when you're praying, just get that part straight, you know, just forgive if you have aught against anybody. Luke chapter 1, verses 78-79. Says, through the tender mercy of God, whereby the day spring on high has visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Jesus came to guide your feet into the way of peace, in Jesus' name. Luke chapter 10, verses 38-42, talks about a certain woman named Martha, who received Jesus into her house, and she had a sister named Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about with much serving, and came to him and said, "Lord, dost thou not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me." And Jesus answered and said unto her, "Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary has chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her." And that good part was sitting at Jesus' feet. So it's okay. Just take some time to be with the Lord. And don't worry about so much about what everybody else is doing. Focus on him. Draw upon his strength. Draw upon his word, and he'll bless you. John 1:17, "For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." You know, the law is good. It can tell us what's wrong. But through Jesus Christ, we receive grace. That's his unmerited favor, you know, and help. He'll help us to live right. And truth, you know, he gives us truth to get our minds straight, you know. So the law came by Moses. That's good. You know, it's our schoolmaster to lead us to Christ. But grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. All right. John chapter 14, verse 27. "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." John 15, 11 and 12, "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." You know, love is the key to so many things. If you want good fruits in your life, you know, just love. Maybe things aren't perfect in your life, but if you love, I'll tell you, it has a healing effect on your life. Just love somebody. Amen. Get your eyes off yourself and your problems, and just do what you can for somebody else. You know, just something little. I'll tell you, it'll get a good direction going in your life. Thank you, Lord. "These things," this is John 16:33, "these things have I spoken unto you, that in me that you might have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Praise God. All right, John chapter 20, verses 19 through 23. "And the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, then came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed to them his hands and his sides. Then were his disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so I send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins you retain, they are retained." You know, Jesus was teaching his disciples to release forgiveness. Praise God. And he told them to receive peace. He spoke peace to them. He just said, "Peace, and I speak peace to you today." Romans 5, verse 1, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Romans 5, 17, I love this, "For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ." When you receive his forgiveness and his righteousness, it puts you on top. You're in control of your life. Amen. He gives you authority, and you can use that authority. Praise God. Romans chapter 8, verse 6, "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." Amen. So set your mind on things above, not things beneath. Romans 14, 17, "For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost." Praise God. The kingdom of God, allow his kingdom to rule in your life, and you'll have righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Romans 15, 13, "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost." And here's a good one, Romans chapter 16, verse 20, "And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen." You see, he's the God of peace, but he does make war on Satan. And he says he's going to bruise him under your feet shortly. That's when you rise up and you take authority and you realize who you are in Christ and just say these words. Just say, "Satan, get out of my life. Spirit of depression, go from me. Oppression, go from me. I say, Jesus is Lord, and I have authority over you in Jesus' name." 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." We just cast down those imaginations that have been working in your life, every negative thing, every evil thing, every unchristlike thing, every thought of depression and hopelessness. We cast it down with the word of God that's been spoken today in Jesus' name. Amen. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Praise God. There is no law that can stand against that in Jesus' name. Amen. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained, that we should walk in them." Praise God. You're his workmanship, and he doesn't make junk. He makes good things, and it comes by grace. It's not by working hard enough to be good enough. Is by letting him have his way and entering into his rest and finding that peace that comes from knowing Jesus Christ. He's on your side. He's for you, not against you. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14, "For he is our peace." Amen. The Lord is your peace, "who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us." Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18 and 19, "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord." Hallelujah. So you don't need wine. You don't need this world's pleasures to give you peace. Be filled with the Spirit. Just say, "Thank you, Lord, for filling me with your Holy Spirit. Fill me to overflowing, Lord, that I might just bubble forth your praises and sing unto you in Jesus' name." Praise God. All right, Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 9. "Be careful for nothing," which means be anxious. Don't worry about a thing. "But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. And those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you." I love this verse because it's helped me so many times when I had a problem in my life. And I would just go to the Lord and I would quote this scripture. "Lord, you said, don't worry about a thing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God." And so I'd let him know what I needed, and then I'd just start thanking him. And, you know, there's a peace that comes with that. You know, one time I had some anxiety. I was pastoring a church and going through some difficulties. And I remember I was sitting on the porch and I was thinking about some things, and I just said, "I'm going to talk to you about this, Lord, and we're going to deal with it right here." And I prayed, and I made a commitment to the Lord, and I just expected, well, right away, I'm going to have peace. You know, I dealt with it. I knew that I had made a sincere prayer and a real connection with the Lord. And I thought, well, that's it. And, you know, I got done praying and I'm sitting on the porch and I had made some decisions in that prayer to the Lord. But I still had that anxiety that continued even after that. And I thought, Lord, what's going on here? And so I asked the Lord, I said, what's happening here? And the Lord said to me, you know, just stick with your decision. Just stick with what you prayed. And, you know, then I understood that, you know, hey, don't worry about how I feel right then at that moment. Just trust in the Lord that he's heard my prayer. And, you know, it was just a short time and that total peace came and the anxiety of that problem left. Because, see, sometimes emotions follow thoughts and they'll just continue because the emotion is still in there, the kind of the anxiety of it, maybe even the chemistry of it in your body is still there. You just have to stick with your decision and you have to give God thanks and just trust him and just move on and then the peace will come. And he says, you know, with thanksgiving, that's a very powerful thing that Lord, whatever you want to do in my life, I just give you thanks. It's done in Jesus' name, you know. And if it doesn't, the situation doesn't change right away, just keep thanking him. Just keep loving him. Praise God. And that peace that passes all understanding will keep your heart and mind. You know, and he talks there too about what you think about, you know, what's in your mind, what's going on in your mind. Just think good thoughts and let his word empower you and give you life. And he'll give you peace through his word. Think on good things, not on evil things, in Jesus' name. Praise God. Colossians chapter 1, verses 20 and 21. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. Praise God. He made peace. How? Through the blood of his cross. You know, the blood of Jesus' cross is sufficient for every need. Whatever sin, whatever darkness, whatever has been, the blood takes care of it. The blood is powerful. You know, it's like if you had a really bad stain on some furniture and you try one product, it doesn't work. You try another, it doesn't work. But you get something, it is guaranteed to work and it gets the job done. Well, in the spirit realm, the blood of Jesus is guaranteed to work. Praise God. Say, thank you, Lord, for your blood. Thank you for dying for me. Your blood was shed that I might be free. I walk in my freedom today in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right, 1 Thessalonians 5, 23, and the very God of peace. Here he's called the God of peace. The very God of peace, wholeness, soundness, oneness, through this joining together, like we mentioned before, sanctify you wholly, and I pray your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Praise God. He's interested in your whole spirit, soul, and body. The spirit is a part of you that's joined to God. When you're born again, your spirit's joined to God. You have peace in your spirit. And then there's your soul. You see, your soul still needs some work. Even though you're born again, your soul might be carrying things from the past. You might have thought patterns, emotional strongholds, bondages. You got to let the word of God just wash that out, sanctify you wholly, spirit, soul, and body. Even the body, see, he's interested in that too. So it's from the inside out, from the spirit, the soul, and the body, he sanctifies you wholly. Praise God. The God of peace will do that for you. Just say, thank you, Lord, for being the God of peace. Thank you, Lord, for sanctifying me, setting me apart, spirit, soul, and body, in Jesus' name. All right? 2 Timothy 1, 6 through 7. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. 2 Timothy 1, 6 through 7. Praise God. you know, Paul is talking to his protege, Timothy. He says, you know, I laid hands on you and you received the Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit that you received is not a spirit of fear, but he is a spirit of power. Praise God. He gives you power. He gives you love in your heart, and he gives you a sound, stable mind. And I release that to you. Just say the words. Just say, thank you, Lord. I have not received a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for that, in the name of Jesus. All right, and now Hebrews chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. Let us therefore fear, lest the promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. But unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest. As he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. He's talking here about the Hebrew children, how they did not enter into the physical rest of the promised land because they didn't believe God's promises. When they saw the giants, they believed more in the giants than they did in God. And he says, you know, they had a promise, they had a gospel, but it didn't do them any good because they didn't mix it with faith. You know, I encourage you, take these words that we're speaking, the word of God that we're speaking, and mix it with faith. Believe. Just when you hear the word of God, just say, yes, Lord, I believe. Yes, Lord, I believe. Yes, Lord, I believe. And just take it in and let him speak to your heart and give you that rest. Just say, thank you, Lord. I believe your gospel. I believe Jesus died for me to set me completely free. I take it in. I mix it with faith. I believe it's the truth, and it's for me. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. I enter into your rest. Lord, I just release the rest of God to this precious one in Jesus' precious name. Amen. All right. Now, Hebrews chapter 12, verses 12 through 15. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but rather let it be healed. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. You know, we can be defiled. We can be doing everything we can, you know, in our personal relationship with the Lord. But we can get tripped up in our relationship with people if we don't follow peace. You see, it doesn't mean we're going to accept everything everybody does and hang around with people that discourage us and so on. But we've got to have peace. You know, one of the best ways to do that is to pray. You know, pray for those, Jesus said, pray for those that despitefully use you and persecute you. Because, you know, you can't really be an enemy to somebody that you're praying for. So pray, have peace, don't be defiled, keep your heart clean, walk in the light, and that blessing will flow and the glory of God will be upon your life in Jesus' name. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 and 6, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. You know, the Lord made promises to us. For example, here he says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. That's a beautiful promise, you know, and if you believe that, then you have something to say. You can say, go ahead and say it now, just say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. We live in a lot of anxiety about maybe what man will do unto us, what somebody's going to do to us, what's going to happen. But the Lord is with you. Nothing to worry about. It's all going to be okay in Jesus' name. All right, Hebrews 13, 20 and 21. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead the Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Hallelujah. The God of peace is going to keep working in you to do his perfect will. And I pray in Jesus' name for this precious one that's listening today, Lord, that you, as the God of peace, will continue to work, to will, and to do your good pleasure in them. And I say the word that we're speaking will continue to resound and resonate in their hearts day by day. Lord, they'll listen to this again and take it in and feed on it, Lord God, and it will minister to their soul over and over again, and it will produce life, and it will produce good things. Lord, you have a plan for victory for them. You have a plan for peace of mind, peace in their hearts, healing in their bodies, healing in their minds. Lord, if there's even something wrong chemically or hormonally, whatever it would be, if there's something wrong in the connectors in the brain, you're able to fix it all, Lord. So in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just lay hands on them sort of in the spirit, Lord. We just release the anointing to their mind and to their hearts, to their emotions. And we just release that power of God to bring peace today, because you, Lord, are there, right there with them. And you are the God of peace. Be healed in Jesus' name. Have peace in Jesus' name. I think how Jesus said to the woman with the issue of blood who was healed, go in peace and be healed of your plague. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Praise God. All right. A couple more scriptures. We're almost done. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. We need to gird up our minds, just like we're getting ready to run. We have to gird up, you know. Well, we have to gird up our minds. We have to get ready to move with God. Get ready for the good things that God's bringing in your life. Be expectant for his power to be released in your life. And then 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. How much care? All your care. Say, thank you, Lord. I cast all my care upon you because you care for me. Thank you, Lord, for loving me. Thank you for caring for me. Thank you for sending Jesus to die for me. I believe he rose again. I believe he is alive. And I welcome the Holy Spirit in my life to minister peace and every good fruit in Jesus' name. Well, God bless you, folks. It's been a joy to be with you. Peace be unto you in Jesus' name. Amen.
We pray you have been blessed and encouraged by this message from Tom Shanklin Ministries. Tom Shanklin Ministries is reaching the world with the good news of Jesus Christ. We invite you to become part of this worldwide evangelistic outreach through your prayers and financial support. To request our free monthly newsletter, you can reach Tom Shanklin Ministries at 507-407-HELP. That's 507-407-4357. Visit Tom Shanklin Ministries online at tomshanklin.org or send cards and letters to Tom Shanklin Ministries, P.O. Box 4144, Mankato, Minnesota 56002.